In Psalm 19, and I challenge you sometimes, especially when you get in Psalms and sometimes Proverbs, all of the verses kind of run together and it seems like it's not necessarily applicable to you right then, except for a few verses here and there that maybe stand out, but perhaps we'll get all 14 verses tonight, but perhaps the Lord would teach us all some things about how we can look at the Scriptures and then it just settles in on us for that very day that we're in. So if you're looking at Psalm 19, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. We'll preach through that, and then we'll go 7 through 11, and then the last couple of verses. So look at verse number 1 of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, or the heavens out there, the atmosphere, showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language that where there, and who is there? That's there, the heavens and the firmament and the sun, the moon, the stars, all that. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. We don't know all the languages of the world, but the sun coming up tomorrow for whatever parts of the world or coming up now for other parts, that's a language that everybody understands. If they're honest, they're going to look up at that big old ball of fire in the sky and say, I couldn't have done that. So there's where we're at. There is no language or speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line, again, that firmament, the sun, moon, stars, all that, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, in the firmament, hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. And so God's saying, the Word of God's saying here, that God put this tabernacle out there and put the sun up there on display like a bridegroom that comes out, and then the groom or the bride comes out, of course. But as they come out in front of everybody, and He says, God, the Word of God says that God puts the sun on display like that. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and His circuit under the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Mean that sun God has made it, this world turns around, and we see that all of us went through classes where you're in school and you figure out how the orbits and all of that, and there's no place of this earth that doesn't get the light of that sun. Now there's parts of it that don't get near as much of it at certain times of year. We understand all that, but what the Word of God says is there's nothing that's hid from the heat thereof. So I'm going to get into the Scriptures, and I trust it'll be a blessing to each of us as we look into it one more time. It's a long story, but a few years ago, or long story how we got to this point, but a few years ago, not that long, we had several electric typewriters at our house. Way after they were out of vogue. It wasn't like I'm not that old, you know. Now I know some of you in here, I ain't gonna say who, but you remember the ones where you had to hit the button real hard and then that big key came up, boom, and hit that. Well, not that old. But the ones a couple after those word processors come in there and had these little, and some of these little electric typewriters. Well, the redhead, my middle child, went through a big fan club thing of Kit Kittredge, one of those American Girl doll figures. And so she wanted a typewriter like this, like the girl in those books. And so we found one at a yard sale. And you might find this hard to believe, but parts aren't that accessible for those things. Like everybody else has moved on to something else or something. But I was doing surgery on this electric typewriter that was obsolete, couldn't find parts for, and it had this case that inside had the spool of the ink ribbon that would advance as the little numbers and letters would chunk up on there. And so we had that thing, and I thought I was all doing well, except it wouldn't go back together. So I had the ribbon was all strewn out, and I was trying to reel it back in. Now, here's one for you blast for your past. You all have ever been with those cassette tapes, and you took a pencil with the eraser on the end of it, and you twirled that cassette tape to get all the way back at the beginning. Well, you're old in here. I can tell some of you are. You're that kind of old. And then some of you go further back than that. You got the big bulky 8-tracks, and we don't want a history lesson. But so I had the spool of this correct, or the ribbon and the correction ribbon later, but I had it all strewn out across there. And I like to say with my mechanical prowess, I was able to get it all back together and it functioned, but That'd be a lie, and I hate to do that in church. So it didn't work out that way, but that's the way I wanted it to. It reminded me of a long time ago, my brother, who's very mechanical, he took an old clock. And do you remember those clocks that they were pre-digital clocks? And they had just hundreds of little panels that had half of the number on them. And those little panels would advance and flip down. And so the back of a part of half of an 8 would also be the front of a part of a 9. And when it flipped down, it would go from 259 or 258 to 259. And so Mark, my brother, had all of those little panels out off of those wheels. And he is mechanical, and he had it all put back together. And that thing even functioned at the end. Whenever I see somebody who's working on vehicles or working on some mechanical project, I'm amazed if they know what they're doing. I'm amazed at how they can take it apart and put it back together. But you imagine this at every invention. I know we've got some engineers that go to the church here, and you engineer different things and how do they go together. And but every invention, every apparatus, everything that man comes up with pales in comparison to the mighty creation of our God. And as much as the world is trying to deify man and make God non-existent, they still cannot duplicate the wonderful, miraculous aspect of creation. You take the human body, for instance, that God has put together. You take this world that He keeps spinning, and you take all of these things and you realize that He didn't labor in a laboratory somewhere to try to make all these things come up right. He spoke them into existence. And so as we look at that, I see the first 6 verses of this psalm, and it says, no wonder the heavens declare or shout out about, they proclaim the glory of God. And the firmament, those things that are between the earth and above, the firmament, it just shows His handiwork. It shows off what He wants to do. And so you see that wonderful picture that's painted in verse number 4 and verse number 5, that the tabernacle for the Son, which is a bridegroom, and our mighty God put the Son that He created on its beautiful tabernacle. And so I see it shining through those stained glass windows in the back. And that's a testament of what God has done. He put it out like a shadow box or a display box to say, this is my handiwork. He made the sun, so scientists tell us, 27 million degrees at the core. And so it touches, as the Bible says in verse number 6, there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. There are parts in our world that are much warmer than where we live. There's other parts that are much colder than where we are. But all of them are inhabitable. We realize that there are places that, or the people can live in all these places. And that's because God placed us the right distance from the sun. I'm telling us this evening that we have a mighty God. The glory of God is declared. But I want you to look at verse number 7 and see not only is the glory of God declared, but I want you to see the law of the Lord is described in these next few verses. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord, or back to His word, the testimony is sure, making wise the simple. Somebody wants to get more knowledgeable, they get in the Word of God. Somebody wants more wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Somebody wants to figure out how to do something, we read in the Word of God. You say, I don't know where that's the instruction manual. Everything we need is in here. It's in this book, and God gives us instructions as we find ourselves in its pages. Verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord, again, His commandments, they're right. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they, the words of God, than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, His words, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there's great reward. Now, I'm going to say a couple things that going to get all of us. I don't know whether it's social media. I don't know if it's the news. I don't know if it's, as my mamaw used to say, your stories. another word for soap operas, you know, your stories, and I don't know which one it is, or newspaper, or news blogs, or news outlets, wherever they are. But I believe that every one of us in this room need to get more in love with the Word of God than any other outlet that's coming into us. And I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm not telling you to show your land this truth landing on you. But I believe that all of us, if we're not careful, we get to a place where we just check off, yes, I did read a little of the Word of God, but we're not letting it saturate us. We're not allowing it to come into us in a fashion that God wants it to. Because we see here in verse number 10, it's more to be desired than gold. And I don't know if that's true in the average Christian's life. Because if we really get down to it, and somebody said, if I fill your bank account up, or if I'd fill your bank account up with as much as you could ever spend or ever want to spend, or leave all the gold there on the counter that you needed, which would you take? That's a convicting thought. But the Bible says it's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So I see, first of all, in those six verses, as you work your way through this psalm, the glory of God is declared, but now the glory of God has gone away from, and now it's the law of the Lord's described. It's perfect in verse number 7. It's sure in verse 7. It's right in verse 8. It's pure in verse 8. And it's enlightening. It's clean. It's eternal. It's true. It's righteous. It's desirous. It's sweet. And it's rewarding. Folks, that's the Word of God. Not only that, but in Psalm 119, it's a light unto our path. It's a light, or it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the New Testament, it's incorruptible. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it abideth forever. It is truth in John, in the book of John. And we understand that it's all of these things. It's God's love letter to us. And right here in the middle of this psalm, it starts off with the declaration of God's glory and His goodness. And He shows His handiwork in the firmament. And then He goes right from there to say, and where I've got it down from the firmament, where everybody can see, to an ingestible, a digestible, ingestible part, is my word, where you can get it and take it on your lap and you can read it and take it in. So it runs from the general creation revelation to the inspired revelation to the Word of God. And God brings it from out there where we can't even reach it or touch it, but we know it's there. The sun is on display for us to notice that there's a God out there that did all of this. But then God says, I'm not going to leave you with just a big ball of sun or fire in the sky so you can know that there's somebody up here bigger than better and more wise and all that than you. I'm actually going to put my instructions down in a written form, and I'm not only going to let you see the glory of God declared, I'm going to let you have the law of the Lord, and I'm going to allow you to read it. My friend, we do not understand until we look at history where there were civilizations and there were people groups that never had had the Word of God in their language, and it was just such a revelation to them. I've watched videos before of unreached people groups that they were brought to the first time in their language, the Word of God, and those people were just overjoyed as if they had brought water or they had brought some great, great treasure into their tribe, and they were handling the Word of God. The Fellowship Tract League, which puts out billions of tracts now by this point, they said in other countries, not ours, but in other countries, they estimate that the gospel tracts, was just a gospel tract, just a pamphlet with the gospel of Jesus Christ written on it or printed on it, they estimate that those are read in other countries seven times before it's so disintegrated from all the sweat that it's gone through that many times by seven different people before it's ineligible. You know, can't read it no more. And then we often lay Bible after Bible around our house. And I'm not condemning us because we're so blessed, but I am trying to get us to pinch ourselves and realize how blessed we are. And we see that the law of the Lord is described here. And God gives us those things. He goes from that revelation of the Son, and He declares His glory. And then he brings it down to a personal level and he gives us his law in our lap so that we can look and know that we need a Savior. And then I want you to look at the last couple of verses. We've read all the way up to 11. Now we'll read verse 12, 13, and 14. Who can understand his errors? How do we even find what we do wrong? Who can understand his errors? Not God's errors, our errors. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. The Bible goes on. Now it shifts to this prayer. Can you see the progression here? It's the glory of God is on display. It's declared out there. And then the law of the Lord comes into us personally. It's pure. It's enlightening. It's clean. It's giving all those things. And now it is showing us that action is needed. And that the action is needed as we pray to God and said, God, please, verse number 12 or 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. When should I be upright? When God keeps me out of the trouble that I naturally get into in my own self. And then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We see that the grace of God is desired by the person that first sees the declaration of God's glory out on display in the sun, the moon, the stars, the firmament, all of that. The glory of God's on display. And then the law of God is described as He gives it to us. And now that we get it given to us, we never shall be the same. Now we've got this desire to say, Lord, help me walk from day to day. Help me to navigate through this life. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Now that I've had the law of the Lord that's been described, it's been given to me, it's been imputed into me, now it's given to me. Now I've got the grace of God that I want to desire and ask that He would give me the needed knowledge to go from day to day, to not mess up myself. Oh Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins. Lord, keep me walking in the right way. Lord, I don't know how to go about throughout my day. The Bible says that it's not within man to know his own steps. We don't even know how to navigate from one event to the next, but what God helps us in our daily walk. And my friend, I'm trying to get us to see it all started with that big ball of fire out in the sky. We see the general revelation, and then we see the specific inspiration, and that ought to drive us to a personal dedication to God and to His Word. We ought to long for it in our lives. Did you ever notice this? That there are some people, we won't name any of your husband's names, but they don't read instruction manuals, instruction booklets, or any paperwork that come with the item that you bought at Lowe's. Because those instruction manuals are for wimps. Those are for the challenged people. Those are for the ones that don't know as much as you do. Those are for the ones that aren't as mechanical as you are. Those are for the ones that are not so privileged as you are. You, my friend, are a more superior being. You don't need those instructions. Lay those to the side. You know when you go get those instructions? When you realize you've got 14 extra parts, 13 extra screws, and there's two panels that won't work, and this grill caught the house on fire. And then you go back and say, honey, where were those instructions for this? The point that most of us get that book out is right after they see that we're hitting the rock bottom and we don't have any idea what we're doing. Well, my friend, there's a lot of people, even though that's just a little funny joke, there's a lot of people that are living their life that way as well. That they're trying everything on their own power before they pick up the instruction manual. And I'm so thankful to announce to everybody I'll see this week, I don't care how much you've messed up the life, Listen, folks, just in case you don't know, our church needs to get away from judging people when they come in that door. I'm so thankful that I can announce to everybody I see this week, it doesn't matter how many times you've tried it without the manual. It doesn't matter how much you've broken it. You haven't broken it to the point that God can't fix it. You haven't gotten to a place where God doesn't interest in reassembling that. I'm so thankful, as I told somebody this week, that God's in the recycling business. We make a mess of it, and God redoes it. You say, aren't there consequences for the light? Yes, there are, but you just leave that to the Lord. He'll take care of all those things. And so I'm thankful that I can announce to everybody this week that I see that they haven't messed it up enough that God can't fix it. But that is what we're doing in this nation. We're shoving the instruction booklet off to the side, and we're saying, I know how to build this life. But my friend, without the instruction booklet, they'll find themselves in horrible conditions. Pastor Gail Russ, he pastored Bakey Road Baptist Church when there was a Bakey Road Baptist Church. It's changed its name now and is pastored by his grandson. But he said about teenagers, never is there such a time that you make so many potentially damaging decisions than that age from about, teenage years up to young adult. Somebody added on to that, no, there's no time when you make so many big decisions with such little wisdom. And some of you in this room, you're sitting back saying, well, I wish I knew then what I know now. But God has given the older generation to help the younger generation. But what we also find is a fault in our nation right now, in our world right now, is the younger generation wants nothing to do with the older generation, and they really want to try it on their own. But they'll find themselves in deep distress without the instruction manual. So tonight, my intent was this, to show you how you could take a psalm that just talks about some nice words. All of us have heard Psalm 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. We've heard that one. We've heard some of those others. But how you could take a psalm or any passage of Scripture and just break it down and see what God is speaking to you about. Because we saw it go from that general revelation, that general creation on display, down to a very personal thing where it's the Word of God is given to us, but then into an internalized situation where we ought to desire God's grace in us. What a wonderful book we have. I'm challenging you this evening to make a Holy Ghost commitment to tell the Lord, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. I'll meditate therein day and night. And if we're going to navigate through this wicked world and be wise in our navigation, we will be standing upon the Word of God. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that you would, Lord, help us build our lives squarely on the book. Lord, we are trying every other source, but we're failing as a nation to build our lives on the Word of God. Everybody in this room, dear Lord, knows that we have minimized the Word of God in our public square. We have ejected it from schools because it was a certain religion and we didn't want to be unkind to anyone else. We have taken it and pushed it out of our courthouses. And Lord, what the need is for us as an individual, us as a church, as the families represented in this room, to stand on the Word of God and say that I'm going to build my life upon it. You say, I don't even know everything's in the Word of God. Join the club. I'm finding stuff new in it all the time. I've read it many times. And the Lord's still enlightening me on things and illuminating things and showing me things. It's wonderful. Would you commit with me to make it more than just a check-off thing that you do throughout the week, but instead you let it be something that's a real part of your life. Father, bless your word to our hearts. My purpose has been twofold tonight, dear Lord. To first of all, just break down a passage of Scripture so that we can do the same in our own personal lives, but then also to remind the people that if they're building their life on anything less than your word, it's shaky foundations. Bless it to be true in our lives. I didn't preach to you about this subject, but perhaps you're here and you're not sure that you're saved. Can I go on and tell you what the Word of God that I preached about says? The Word of God that I preached about says this in the Word of God, that everybody needs to put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Church membership, church attendance, good deeds, and raising a good family won't get anybody to heaven. The only thing that takes a person to heaven is not being a Baptist, not being a friend of a Baptist, or not knowing a preacher. The only thing that takes a person to heaven is by personally receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if you're not sure that you've ever done that, or maybe it's cloudy, maybe you think so, you're not a no-so, you're uncertain, in just a moment, Brother Daniel will stand in front of the pulpit that I preach from. And when we stand, I'm going to invite you to come. And he, or if somebody else, if it's a lady, then a lady could deal with you, would take the Word of God and show you from the pages of God's Word how you can know for certain that heaven's your home, your sins are forgiven, and Jesus is your Savior. And if you're a Christian in here tonight, and maybe you've already done this, but I challenge you to do it again, there in your seat, you're welcome to come up here in just a moment if you want, but there in your seat, wherever you do it, that you would commit again, I'm going to stand on the Word of God and let it be my foundation. Bless us, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? We need to build our lives on the Word of God. As I mentioned, if you're here and you're not sure, let me put it like this. If you would have trouble giving a Bible reason why you would go, you're on your way to heaven, if you'd have trouble giving a Bible reason why you're on your way to heaven, would you slip out and come to the front? Brother Daniel's down here. We'd love to show you how you could be on the assurance of God's Word that you're saved. Church for all these years has been a Bible believing church. And the thing that's made a strong church is that the individuals and the families have been Bible believing families. And I want to re-up for that. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, we've got an exciting aspect I'd like to do. And I'm going to ask Brother Basilio. I got to see him again this morning. Would you come on up and greet us in just a moment? I'm going to ask him to pray for us. He spoke over in the Spanish service this morning. And I got to meet him years ago at Franklin Road through a mutual friend, our Spanish pastor over there. And in just a moment, you come sit up here with us, if you don't mind, with me. Us, nothing. I guess I'm the only one. Some come sit there isn't us, I guess. And I'll have you dismiss us in prayer in just a moment, brother. But I'm going to have you be seated. Brother Danny Jenkins is going to come and share something from our deacons that I'd like for us to, as a church, to get behind. And so he'll explain to you a little bit about that. Brother Danny.
The pastor and deacons recommend that we give $2,500 to Billy Ford, missionary to the Native Americans in Arizona, for repairs to his truck. This will come from the mission fund, and I make this motion.
Brother Billy Ford is no stranger to us. He used to be here at church, our church, and then is sent out of Eastside down in Greenville. But he pulls a big ministry trailer that they basically, it's their church on wheels out there at the Indian Reservation. And so they use it to minister to all those folks out there. And some front-end work needed done. If it hadn't been for Billy's mechanical knowledge, then it would have cost about $6,000 or $7,000, because you're just going to have to get it a whole new front end put underneath of it. But he can do it. He's a mechanic, sir. He's very qualified and capable. And so this will give him the wherewithal to get that done. And so I certainly think that our church ought to get behind it. And so that's what the $2,500 will buy, all the parts, and he'll do the labor for that repair. So you've got a motion there. If maybe one, somebody else, not a deacon, Brother Daniel Wakefield makes a second. And it's good to see so many. We'll praise the Lord for all of that. And we want to be a part of his ministry out there. So all in favor of that motion that's been put forth, say amen. 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 Raise your right hand, anything. And all opposed, same sign. All right. Well, motion carries there, and we're so thankful. And Brother Burt will get that check out to Billy, and then they can be on the road again soon as he can get those parts and get that repair done. So we need to close. All right. So we need a motion to close. All right. I was really counting on John Green, but then he's not going to make it. He was on the other one, but now I've offended him. John, could you go ahead and give me a little? Thank you. Thank you. John Green makes a motion. I was going to get Larry Stover. He was on the other one, but he's bailing out on me too. So nobody wants to leave. I'll just go on to the third sermon then for today. Oh, Marty's going to say that. Never mind. Marty doesn't want me to do that. So Marty Scrawl is going to second it. All in favor, say amen. 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 Brother Basilio, would you come and greet everybody? Thank you. It's such a joy to have him here, and he's just going to say a word, then pray for us as we're dismissed. Thank you.
Good evening.
Yes. We've been in the ministry for over 50 years now, full-time ministry. We're missionaries to the Hispanic world, and it's a real joy to be with you. It's a tremendous blessing to know that there's a church in this part of the world, in this part of the United States, that preaches the gospel. My heart was blessed tonight. What a tremendous message. Thank you, Pastor. Shall we stand as we pray? Our Father, we come to you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful, Lord, that you came and visited us with your wisdom, with your power, with your spirit. Father, thank you for the word of God. May we not only hide it in our heart, may we reflect the character of God in our lives. Bless this church. Bless its people. Bless its pastor, its helpers, its assistant pastors. Father, bless them with all the activities that they have. Father, I pray that your name will be high and lifted up, and your name will be magnified. May the people in Johnson City hear the word of God. May they know there's a God in heaven that loves them, and more, that's willing to come and save them and forgive them of their sin. Father, give us a great week. We love you. Dismiss us with your blessing. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.